Well, Kitty, it might be a surprise to come back and discover that we're still in the book of Hebrews, but here we are. Chapter 10, verses 11 to 18 are the chapter and verses that we're looking at today. Well, what this passage tells us today, I feel, is the fact that Christianity is not a faith that goes round in circles, leading us nowhere. It's the exact opposite to that. It's not a faith that requires continual sacrifices to be made to take away sin, as the old covenant of the Jewish faith had been. It is not a faith that requires an act of forgiveness over and over again. One act happens. It's Jesus dying on the cross, and that's all it takes. This is the point that is getting across in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. But even though it seems abundantly clear here, it doesn't mean that the church has understood this as being a truth over the years. The church, widely speaking, unfortunately, over the years, have built on itself tradition and other things that are contrary to the word that we are given. Unbiblical notions of forgiveness have been built in. These have gained oxygen. They've been taught as if they're part of the Christian faith, and we need to put some of those things to rest today to make it very clear that some of these additional things are not needed. When priests in some churches preside over rituals, they run the risk of getting things terribly wrong, getting things upside down, not speaking biblical truths. So take, for instance, the notion of doing penance for sin. This idea is counterintuitive to the reality of the Christian faith. It takes us round and round in circles, doesn't it? Doing the exact opposite to what Jesus had sought to achieve for us by dying on the cross. Jesus' death liberates someone from sin. It is the heresy of Jesus Christ's death not being sufficient to say that any form of penance is needed. The notion that Jesus plus something else is required for your sin to be forgiven is a load of rubbish. It shouldn't be taught in church, and it is certainly not biblical. If you confess your sin to God with sincerity, you are forgiven. You don't need anything else. You don't need to ask for forgiveness and then be told, you better go and fast. You don't need to go and pay a fine of some kind. You don't need to pray a certain set of prayers to receive your forgiveness afterwards. Nothing else is required but your honesty before God. Then you'll be forgiven because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice is enough. And to make it abundantly clear that nothing else is required other than the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us for the forgiveness of sins, we hear that there is nothing else that Jesus has to do from that point onwards for our salvation. There's nothing else. And there is nothing else that Jesus will ever have to do. You can be certain that there is nothing you could possibly do to add or fulfill Jesus' salvation plan for you. And if there's nothing else that Jesus can do, well, what could anything that you could do offer anyway? It's not needed. How do we know, though? How can we be certain that everything is correct and in order? How can we be certain that to confess your sins is enough, that we don't have to go and pay a fine that we don't have to go and say a set number of prayers, to fast. How do we know? Because it says so in Scripture. And if anybody tells you something that is the opposite to that, and you choose to believe them rather than what it says in Scripture, well, that is a dangerous path indeed. Because in Scripture, in today's passage, it says, but Jesus offered a single sacrifice on behalf of sons for all time, and then sat down at the right hand of God. So first we hear this, that there is a single sacrifice for all time. It says that very clearly, doesn't it? This sacrifice stands above time and space, and it sanctifies all sin. That's all sin that has been, all sin that's going on now, and all kind of sins that haven't even been thought of or invented in the future. It covers everything. It purifies everything that taints. It is one act. It is carried out by Jesus, and it cannot be taken away. It cannot be repeated, and it cannot be added to in any way. So let's dispose of any heresy here that tells us that Jesus' death on the cross plus something else is required for us to be forgiven. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done. So that burden can be lifted off your shoulders. Don't feel guilty or weighed down by sin. Be liberated that by asking Jesus, you can be forgiven. And you know, as virtuous as somebody's life is, it doesn't matter either. So we can dispel another heresy that has been built up within the church, making somebody a saint. Now, it's wonderful that there are people who are holy, who have helped people in many different ways. But it adds nothing to the salvation story to say that somebody is a saint. It doesn't mean that they get access to God any quicker than you or I. Making someone a saint adds nothing. Neither does being a terrible sinner take away any access to God. Whether you're the holiest of people that could walk the earth, or whether you're the biggest sinner in your own eyes that has walked the earth, there's nothing that separates you from God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if anybody tells you any different, then you just have to point to that criminal who died alongside Jesus on the cross. He didn't say, today you'll go to purgatory, and then after a while I'll eventually see you in paradise, did he? He said, this day I will see you in paradise. It is the same for saint and sinner. These things, like limbo, like purgatory, they're things that have been created by the church, by people who haven't understood God's word, who want to take something away from God's achievement to give importance to human beings. Nothing we do can add anything to what Jesus has already done on the cross. We must reject any of these teachings as untruth. They're not biblical. And to put it this way, they actually detract from God's mighty works. So I shall repeat again. This passage tells us Jesus' sacrifice is enough. Then we hear also in our reading today from Hebrews that Jesus sits down at the right hand of God. After sacrificing himself on the cross, after Jesus pays the complete price, the complete penalty for our sins, Jesus sits down. Now that being sat down or sitting down, it might not sound the most important part of this reading, but it's integral for our understanding about what Jesus has done. Now these days, sitting down might feel like something that we do a lot of. It's something you're all doing now, isn't it? And if we have worked in an office, then we used to be you know, behind a desk. Work for a lot of people requires us sitting down doing a job. But in the past, although there were some roles where you'd have to sit down to work, most people carried out their work standing up. Jobs were labour-intensive and it would require long hours of work being spent. It would have been physically exhausting. So when the job was completed or the day of work had finished, you'd go home and you'd collapse into your chair and you'd sit down. Work was done for the day. Perhaps a job was completed. The fact that the passage says that Jesus sits down indicates to us that his job is done. The work that had been given to him is done. Now, you could point out to me and say that this doesn't mean that the whole job is done. It could just mean that as a working person, Jesus could just stand up the next day and carry on doing it. But look where he sits. At the right hand of God. After the work he's done, he goes and he sits at the right hand of God. And just think about that for a moment. Where had Jesus come from? Heaven. He had come from heaven. He had descended to earth in the incarnation. He had toiled amongst us in flesh. He had carried out the work that had been put before him. He had completed that work on the cross. He had ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand. He was sitting back from where he came, which indicates the work, the job is done. This isn't Jesus taking a break. This isn't Jesus sitting down at the end of a day. This is Jesus sitting down in his rightful place, having completed all of the work he'd been sent down to do on earth. Yes, he spent time before ascending to heaven with his disciples, but his work was already complete. He didn't add anything else to the salvation work which had been put before him. His work was already complete, and this is shown by his sitting down at the right hand of God following his ascension into heaven. Christianity is not a faith that goes round in circles. When the job is done, Jesus sits down in heaven, and there's no question, it is done. He even said the words, "It is finished," didn't he? But how do we know that Jesus isn't still adding something to his atoning sacrifice through what he's doing from his heavenly seat, perhaps? Well, very obviously, there is access to him, isn't there? And the Holy Spirit does act as the go-between God. But Jesus is not adding anything to this point of the work that he's already done. After all, that's complete. Could you imagine Rembrandt or Da Vinci returning to one of their masterpieces years on to add a little bit more detail? Children do that. They don't know when to stop drawing, and in the end, they ruin it, don't they? Master artists know when to stop. When the job, the work is complete, it's complete. They might reframe it. They might display it in a different room where the light is different, but the work itself is unchanged once completed. And Hebrews tells us that from that moment on, from the moment that Jesus sits down, having completed his life work, that he, Jesus, from that point on, is waiting. Now, evidently, waiting is not doing. When you go to the doctors, you don't go to the doing room, do you? You go to the waiting room, because that's what you're doing. You're waiting for your appointment. But waiting is not sleeping either, is it? It's not to say he is absent in any way. He is active because he's waiting and he's watching on. Through the Holy Spirit, he is exhibiting, reframing, presenting the truth about what he's done on the cross so that people might be saved. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring that truth and place its importance into people's lives, to convict people in their heart that they need this and to set them free and to liberate them. He's not doing anything else, though, to add to what he's done. He's not continuing the work which he has completed because he's already done that so perfectly, but he is involved through the Holy Spirit of convicting people to see the work he's done and setting them free. He's involved like an engineer who's produced a wonderful piece of machinery and he watches on as it's operated and things come out along the conveyor belt. He is involved as the great shepherd who, having made the narrow way, calls out to his flock so that they can find their way home by listening to his voice. He's made the gateway already. There isn't another gateway that needs to be made. He doesn't need to widen it, but he can call out and he can guide people through it. The way home is already accomplished. The pathway is already complete. Jesus sits, he watches, and he waits, knowing that his work will make all things new. And Hebrews says that he watches until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. A footstool for his feet. You see, he's still not standing, is he? He's still sitting. He doesn't stand up at any point to do anything more. He remains seated. The work has already been done. And as things are perfected, the enemies fall by the wayside. They're defeated. He doesn't have to raise a hand. The work is already done. The winning blow has already been made. Things are already complete. The enemy is already defeated. It's just a matter of sitting back and waiting and watching things play out, giving the maximum amount of time for all who hear his voice to pass through the narrow way into God's kingdom. He is waiting for all who will come to him, not wanting to lose even one. For all who will pass through the narrow way will do so. Everyone who searches, he waits for them. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. The Quran says that Muhammad said, "I don't know the purpose of life." Buddha told his followers to seek for truth. Confucius said, "I am not the way." But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, in Jesus is the fulfillment of every other seeker. And he will wait at the Father's right hand until all who are meandering their way back home, whether they seem on the right path or not, whether they're searching for him as part of the right religion or not, if they are truly seeking for truth, they will hear his voice and they will find their way home. He waits like the father does for the prodigal son, and he welcomes him home on his return. So you see, we can say with certainty that Jesus' sacrifice is enough. And it is the realization and the fulfillment of every other world faith, of every truth seeker. It's the fulfillment of what they've been looking for. It's for everybody who thinks there must be more than this. And through the Holy Spirit, God continues to dwell with us, bearing witness to the truth. What is truth? This is truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Or according to our passage today from Hebrews, to give them, that is us, a covenant where our sins shall be remembered no more, and we shall be able to return home, that is, to dwell in eternity in the house of God. And in that place, we shall share completely, 100% communion with God. Where sin's ugly head cannot reach us anymore, because we have the truths, the laws of God written on our hearts and in our minds. The work towards this has already been completed. It happened through Jesus' actions on the cross. God has dealt with our sins and set us free once more, once and for all. Nothing else is required. That's why Jesus sits and he waits. And when he does stand, all things will be made new.